2, verses 6 through 10. And if you would bow your heads again with me, just to ask God's work on this message and his blessings upon us as we listen. Lord, we know your Holy Spirit is here and present. And so we come to you. We pray for our listening ears and attentive hearts to your words spoken to us. Preach to us this morning. Transform us in our inner man to be the person, the individual that you long us to be. Lord, we know that you reign supreme in this world, as we sang this morning. This is my Father's world, and we are a part of this world, Lord. And we thank you that you say your kingdom will come. And Lord, we invite your kingdom into our hearts and our lives this morning, that we'd be able to serve you with all that we are. For you indeed reign supreme, but Lord, we want you to reign supreme within our hearts, within our lives. Thank you for your word to us. We pray that you would so bless us and instruct us through it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So if you have your bulletin handout this morning, just turn to the back of it and you'll see an outline for today's sermon message. And I hope you'll follow along with me as we involve ourselves in looking at the true North Star. The true North Star. So last week I began a sermon series related to navigation. Navigating in this world, which is very pluralistic, which is, we titled it postmodern. And we want to come to a more fuller understanding of what postmodernism is today for us. Maybe you've heard that word bantered around a little bit, but maybe don't understand it so fully. And last week I spoke on the book of Joshua from chapter 18, talking about the importance of map making. Map making, of course, is crucial if we want to find our way anywhere in this world today, and that's why GPS navigational system is doing so well. We all know what it's like to get lost in one part or another part of our city, and it's so good to have something to direct us. Well, mariners of old had a further crisis, if you would. They had the difficulty in having no fixed points when out in open sea. Of course, when they were close to the land, they could navigate by set points along the coastal waters. Maybe this landform or that rock, and so they'd be so directed. But out in the open ocean, where do you look? Where do you go for direction? And so this morning we want to understand and consider the importance of the stars and also the sun itself in way of directing these mariners of old and even in our present day. The earth spins and the stars kind of spin around a central arc in the sky. Only the North Star is actually fixed in one point. This makes the star an ideal point of reference for mariners. They refer to it and navigate by it. Jesus is called the Morning Star in Revelations 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you testimony of the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Jesus' very name is Star, the Morning Star. Postmodernism is a reaction to modernity's belief that science will save us, technology will save us. So postmodernists say, you know, you look around us and what has science netted us? It's really created a lot of problems in our world today with all this advance of science and all this technology. We've just polluted our environment and created untold suffering and misery for so many people in this world. Today, our environment being so polluted and also our economics being in turmoil, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And so postmodernists say it's not working. They pass by both religion and science as the answers. They think there is no absolute truth. Rather, all knowledge is subjective, biased, and even socially constructed. It's prepackaged religious truth that's got their ire. They don't support any institutionalized packages of what is real and what is true. This worldview has created an ocean of pluralistic thought. Everything is right, nothing is wrong. How does one navigate in such a despondent worldview? If the ocean is tossing and turning, what is the fixed point? God gives us that fixed point in our world today via the North Star, who is indeed Jesus Christ himself. This is the gospel, the good news that God has not left us adrift in this world with nothing to navigate by. But he puts his star in the universe to declare to us that we don't have to navigate by mere humanistic ideology and thought, but that we can look to God, to Jesus Christ, for our navigation. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. It's going to be printed up there on the PowerPoint, but if you have your Bibles, I'd have you turn to your Bibles as well. It starts in verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable richness and riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. First of all, God has raised up Christ, and we, with Christ, we've joined with the star. In verse 6 it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. What or who are we joined to makes a difference in our lives? Wouldn't you agree? What or who we are joined to makes a great difference in our lives. Postmodernists don't want to join anything because it hampers freedom, self-expression, and individuality. Freedom is the number one mantra of our age. I used to like this song called Green Green, sung by the Christian Minstrels in 1963. It was published. And it goes something like this. It's on the PowerPoint. Well, I told my mama on the day I was born, don't you cry when you see I'm gone. You know there ain't no woman gonna settle me down. I gotta be a traveling on. Singing, green, green, it's greener, they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still. Say, oh, that's a strange philosophy and a song. But it's a song that has really kind of echoed in people's hearts and became a number one hit. So I used to like this song very much because I thought, you know, everything was about being fiercely independent, like postmodernists in our day. The open road, the wind blowing in your hair, the bugs in your teeth. Oh, it was an amazing thing, an amazing thought. You know, you wouldn't have to be tied down to anything or anyone. You could just do what you really wanted to do. Fierce independence, freedom, the green grass, always whispering to you in the next county. You just keep moving on. Nobody's going to tie you down. Nobody's going to think ill of you. You're just traveling. You're just going. You're free. There are certain things the song doesn't mention, however, like, where are you going with all that freedom? Where are you actually going? I'm just moving on, the song says. What meaning is there in all your traveling? Is there anything significant there in your traveling and your going? It seems kind of lonely, doesn't it, when you're all wrapped up in yourself? You're not tied to anyone else. Doesn't that give you a pang in your heart? Sense of deep loneliness. Why is the green grass so attractive? It's just grass, right? The closeness and intimacy of being connected with Jesus Christ in the Christian community is really what Christianity is all about. Christianity is a religion of relationships and connectedness. That core relationship is with Jesus Christ himself, the Northern Star. He is indeed God himself, a fixed point in our universe that we can navigate by. From Jesus, we can get our bearings to navigate anywhere and navigate anything that comes into our lives. Everything is enabled or disabled by that relationship in Christ. Remember how Peter, when he was seeing Christ on the water, walking towards him, said, "Jesus, call me and I will come out of the boat and walk on the water with you." What a faith, what a belief. He steps out of the boat, looking directly at Christ, his navigational North Star. But then he turns and looks at the wind and the waves, and his heart grows fearful and he begins to sink. So true in our own lives, isn't it? As we look to Christ, we can navigate this world. But as soon as we look at the world and all its ideology and philosophy, it looks scary and big and overwhelming. Well, secondly here, the incomparable riches that we see in verse 7. Verse 7 says that it's in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in this kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The incomparable riches in the ages to come will not be money, I'm afraid to say. It won't be money. Riches will be counted in grace, the text says. In grace. Not greenbacks, yens or rubles, or euros or pounds. It will be the grace expressed to us through Jesus Christ in his life, his death, and his resurrection. Can I ask you a deeply personal question? What are you rich in? What are you excited about? If you were out to impress a visitor that would come to your home, what would you bring out and show them that would impress them with your riches? I used to be a serious stamp collector, and I brought one of my stamp books with me this morning. It's one I got, of course, while I was in China. So it's quite old, but in there is various stamps I've collected over the years. And this stamp book had deep meaning for me and was a feeling of richness and treasure. I've actually collected close to over 1,000 stamps in my day. And I used to be so thinking these things were so valuable. In China, they have little cellophane packages that you can put your stamp in. And so I would go through, and each stamp I would put in a little cellophane package, you know. And then I would put them all in series and in the proper date. And then I'd try to make sure they were all in a row in my book. And then I would invite somebody to come over and say, how would you like to look at my stamps? And they would say, okay. And they would come in and, oh yeah, that's a big stamp. Where did you get that one? Okay, yeah. Kind of feigning some interest, you know? Nodding their head a little bit. Yeah, that's a nice stamp. You know, I found those that were most interested in my stamps were other collectors, you know? And they would come over and they would look at my book and they would say, wow, is that ever well organized? And where did you get those little plastic cellophane things from? I like that. No, they would say to me, are you willing to sell that one to me? You know, can I get that one for my collection? Would you trade me that one for this one? They were more interested in getting more for their collection and taking from my collection. And you know, I never had my kids run up to me after maybe a meal or something and say, Dad, Dad, I haven't seen your stamp collection for a long time. Could you please, please show me your stamp collection again? No, I never got that from any of my kids. You know, eventually I started to think to myself, you know, I must be going nuts. Here I am, sitting at home, playing with little pieces of paper and sticking them in cellophane packages. You know, really in terms of quantitative value or monetary value, you know, pennies. And yet I was spending all my time, my wife even called herself a stamp widow at one point. You know, because I was spending so much time with my little pieces of paper. Riches, it's always in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? What we think is highly valuable to us. One man's riches is said to be another man's junk. God says he will one day show us his collection of irresistible riches. I wonder what it is. And you're probably saying, I'm hoping it's not a stamp collection. No, it's the immeasurable grace that God offered to us in Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, but maybe some of you are going, trying to fight back and yawn. Ooh, you know, maybe like seeing a stamp collection. And that's where I'm at sometimes too. Like, how do I get excited about God's grace? And I really believe it's in becoming a student. As with my stamp collection, you know, I felt kind of bored when people would talk about stamps before, honestly. Until I found out that, you know, where I was going to China, many students were collecting stamps and it was a way of opening communication. And so I thought, yeah, that would be good. But then I got more carried away with the stamps and the communication. And I got really passionate about stamps and collecting them. And I thought the Cultural Revolution ones were so awesome, you know, because of that time period in China's history. And so I was able to collect a fair number of Cultural Revolution stamps. And if you want to see them one day, you know, I'm not saying anything there, but yeah, I can show you some of my Cultural Revolution stamps. Well, when God says to us, he shows us the riches of his grace in Christ. Where are we with that? Yeah, I'm excited about that. Show me God. Show me God. I'm ashamed to say that I haven't come to see God's great grace as much a treasure as I ought. I underrate it. I must be more of a student of his grace. As some are students of gems, of precious paintings, or maybe even of football. You know, we have people that spend inordinate amounts of time rememorizing and thinking about different football players and scores on football games and, you know, who's won what trophy. And their passion, they spend inordinate amount of time on that. We can really treasure whatever we put our hearts on. Oh, that my heart and your heart would more be upon the grace of God, and that we'd be really intensive students of that grace, and really seek to understand it more and more, and enter into its depths as the gospel, the good news for our souls and for the world. The good news being the express gift to us of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. Thirdly, by grace you have been saved. The gift of the star to us. Verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." The gift of grace being through faith is a strange form of transaction that can't really be understood with the mind fully as much as with the heart. We can hardly understand that the God of the universe sent his Son to be born amongst us, to live, to die, to be resurrected. But then, God desires to deal with me personally is even far beyond even that. That God wants to apply that life and death and resurrection to my own heart, to my own life, and he wants to communicate that to me. And he wants me to feel that and know that so that I become passionate about that and love that about God, because it's really an expression of love which is more felt with the heart than really understood with the mind. I mean, yeah, I can understand often with my wife, you know, that I'm married to her and I'm supposed to do certain things, you know, in a love relationship. But if it was just a technical thing with my mind, where would our marriage be? But when it's a passionate love of the heart, that makes so much more sense. And revolving around that passion and that love that is more of a sense of feeling, more of a sense of blessing in our lives, wow, then we have something there in way of relationship. Not denying the importance of understanding in our minds, but so much more we can grasp further that relationship with God in way of love. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Not by works. It's not by works that we accomplish this. It's not that we boast in what we have done, but that we boast in the star. The point of all the universe directed and guiding all things, Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says to us, "Not by works, so that no one can boast." Merit is always a part of human endeavor, isn't it? We evaluate everything on the basis of what we like, what we don't like, balance in between that, how do we choose. We distinguish something more of worth than something else in that quick evaluation in our minds that we do. So it is quite easy for us to come to God and also think that he does the same with us in way of evaluating us. Here's one person, here's another person, and which one is better, which is doing more for me, which is doing less for me? Okay, I'll go with the guy that's doing more for me. You know, God must love the pastor more than he loves me, because pastor's always up front, you know, doing things, talking about people. Or maybe it's a guy that's playing his guitar up here on Sunday mornings. God must love him. Okay, so, you know, we evaluate ourselves, and we evaluate those that are in the church. But God isn't like that. The scripture says that it's not about works that we can boast and say, well, you know, I go out every Sunday morning and preach the Word of God. Or Peter, you know, brings up his guitar and knows some chords on his guitar and strums away and says, you know, God, I work really hard. on learning those chords. I'm pretty proficient at my guitar, not like some of those other people. They never picked up their guitar. They didn't know green, green. And so we evaluate ourselves, we evaluate others, but God's love is not like that, and His grace significantly isn't like that. And His mercy towards us isn't like that. God takes us, not on the bare basis of our merit, but on the basis of Christ's merit. And He gives it to us as a free gift. A gift that we don't earn. It's all on the basis of Christ Himself. Because significantly, we cannot provide the gift. We cannot provide the gift because He is the Holy Lamb of God. He is pure. And only the one that can offer Himself for the forgiveness of sins. For your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. 1 Peter again, chapter 1 says, "For you know that it was not without perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." We are God's handiwork. It says here in verse 10. Creation of the star. Verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our good works are not to gain approval for ourselves, or to merit something, or brownie points before God. Our good works is a way of giving credit and merit to God. We give Him glory and praise. We reflect His goodness and shine forth His merit in our lives. That is why when Christians say they believe in Jesus Christ and their conduct is something opposite, there's no good works there that people can say, people get confused. Are you really following Christ? Do you really believe in Him as your true North Star? And if you do, how come you're acting like the darkness in the world? Your conduct is completely opposite what it should be in following the star. Christians should ever be pointing not to their own star, but to God and to Jesus Christ as a significant star of grace in their lives. We have many roles, jobs, opportunities, ministries that we can be involved with as a Christian. But the most significant role, ministry, and job that we can have is pointing to the star, pointing to Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come before You, and we recognize that You are the light of the world. Shine in our souls today. Your grace and salvation to us is a gift. We thank You for it. We receive it again this morning. And we bless You. Help us see it as our greatest treasure. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You are here this morning and perhaps you've never heard of the gift that God has for you. Or you don't know the significance of that relationship you can have with Jesus Christ. I encourage you after the service, after the benediction and the announcements. I'm not going to go to the back door after I've sent the benediction. I'm going to stay up front. And if you'd like to come and talk about that gift and what salvation means and God's grace, I invite you to come up to the front and talk to me. May God bless His word to us this morning.
Before we sing this last song, It's called Reiki nuts. And sometimes when we come into the church, we heard these messages. It's hard for us just to push ourselves to that level to say, okay, God is important to me, because sometimes we are so distracted in our lives. So before we sing this song, I just want to give you some time just to pray to God and ask and you shall receive. God is seeking you, and all for you to do is to respond to him. So the chorus of this song goes, O great and mighty one, with one desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We offering up our lives, a living sacrifice, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. So it's hard for me to say, just give you some time right now. So you and God, pray to him, speak to him, ask him, you shall receive. He will come close to you.
Oh,
2021. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I want to draw your attention to a few brief announcements this morning. We will be having a couple's Sunday school class at the 11:40 hour, and it will be held downstairs in the gym. Some of you have signed up for that. There is a workbook that you can purchase when you join us. Mason and Rosemary will be leading us in that class, and you're more than welcome to come and join us. Also, our annual general meeting is this afternoon. For those that are in membership, we encourage you, strongly advise you to come and be with us as you are the voting membership of the church. We need you there for our AGM today at 2:30. Also, this is the last Sunday for our tax receipts. So if you've been giving regularly over the past year of 2015 for the church's ministries, there is a tax receipt that you can pick up. And our administrator has told us that he doesn't want to have to mail them, you know, because he doesn't want to spend the money on it, but also the time as well. So if you could kindly just go to the office if you haven't picked up your tax receipt yet. On that note, let's bow in silent prayer and then be dismissed as we seek to be navigated by Jesus at your mercy.